this Leading with Excellence podcast featuring the superintendent of Greenfield Central School Corporation, Dr. Harold Olin. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, executive director of the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents. This Leading with Excellence podcast allows listeners to get to know the incredible individuals who are leading Indiana's traditional public schools with excellence and reminds us that our leaders are also our neighbors, friends, mentors, and lifelong learners. These authentic conversations help bridge the gap between the office of the superintendent and the amazing people in that seat. You know, superintendents are often seen as administrators who make big decisions about budgets, policies, or facilities. And although that is all true, this podcast shifts that perspective by hearing superintendents speak in their own voices about their community, school district, and personal stories. We'll discover the superintendent as a listener, learner, and servant leader, someone whose leadership centers on vision, relationships, and a genuine care for people. Well, let's dive right in and learn more about our guest, Dr. Harold Olin. Welcome, Harold.
Thanks for having me here.
Talk to us about Greenfield Central. Where are you located in the state? What is the makeup of your district? What would you like to share?
Well, Greenfield Central is right in the heart of Hancock County, so we're just east of Indianapolis, and a city of about 30,000, a county that has about 80,000. I'm actually a Hancock County kid, so I know the county pretty well. I went to Mount Vernon schools. My father taught in the New Palestine School Corporation for 29 years. My grandfather was in Mount Vernon for about 30, and this is my 26th year in Greenfield Central. So it is home, and certainly it is a place that has an agrarian background to it. And the more rural areas, and of course the city of Greenfield, it is the county seat where county government takes place. So it is just a wonderful American city.
I pulled a little bit of information off of your foundation, actually, and I'm going to quote this. It came straight from their website. Dr. Olin, a lifelong Hancock County resident, as you've just mentioned, has been a part of the Greenfield Central School Foundation since its inception. Being able to draw from his roles as a professional educator, special education, general education, principal, and superintendent is a great asset to the foundation. Talk to me about the work your foundation does and how instrumental you were in starting that foundation.
Well, the mission for the Greenfield Central School Foundation is connecting the community to the classroom, and they stay very focused on that mission. Certainly, they raise a lot of money, which allows teachers to do some very exciting things in their classrooms through grants that they provide. But more than the money that comes in, it's really creating some champions for Greenfield Central that they understand things that are happening there and allows parents to know how they can support that, whether you have children there or whether you're just a community member. Now, here in the last few years, they've really gotten into the scholarship world where they're actually, I'm on that committee as well, where we've granted five or six scholarships over the last couple of years. And some of these are very meaningful scholarships up to $20,000 that would be per year for 4 years. So again, just one more way that they're connecting the community to the classroom, giving kids experiences that they wouldn't be able to have otherwise.
I mentioned that you special education, general education, principal, superintendent. You said, you know, your father was an educator, so you come by this honestly. Did you always know you wanted to be an educator? Was that something that was just always there? Or,
you know, when you're my grandfather, my father, my uncle who was right next door, my wife is an educator. Both of her parents were educators, all in the public world, public education world. Yes, it was always around me. It was always something that interested me. But I truly had an interest in civil service and politics. Thought I might go that direction at one point. But pretty early in my college years, by my sophomore year, I made that shift, not with political science, but with social studies education. And I love to coach, participate in athletics, so it was a natural fit.
What was that impetus that led you from the classroom into your first building level administrative position?
I think with everything that I've done in my life, I've wanted to lead, not just participate, but to lead that. I mean, that goes back to even my experiences in college of wanting to be a resident assistant, where you're not just on campus, but you're leading things on campus. You're providing programming, trying to make that experience better for others. So I think it's just part of my DNA to want to do that. And I would tell you that timeline sped up a little bit for me in that, you know, here I was a 28-year-old in my first assistant principal role, which was in Mishawaka, of all places. You can imagine.
Square miles, a very small.
Seven, 8 square miles right there between South Bend and Penn Harris Madison. But as a 28-year-old, I looked pretty young. When I was 28, I think it was my sixth interview that I had for an assistant role, and finally got that. I had some people that took an opportunity with me or took a chance on me. Very grateful for Jan McLean for doing that, my principal there in Mishawaka. A year later, had an opportunity to come back to what is home to me in Hancock County, and I've been in Greenfield Central ever since. So for the last 26 years, and I've had many hats. I was an assistant principal athletic director for 1 year, and then had an opportunity to jump right into the principalship. I was an elementary principal in two of our buildings over a four-year period of time. We just had some needs that emerged, and I had a superintendent that believed in me and thought I was the guy that could come in there and right the ship. And then had an opportunity to go to one of our two middle schools. 5 years later, we combined those two middle schools into a junior high. I opened that. 4 years later, I jumped into the superintendency. So it's been quite a ride in 26 years serving this community.
When you're making big decisions, it's important that people know where your heart is. And being in the community for 26 years, clearly you know a lot of people in Greenfield. For those who you don't, and for the superintendents that are listening to this who may not know you well, what would you want them to know about you?
I would hope they would see somebody who cares about kids. I mean, that's not just a cliche thing to say, but it, honestly, to me, it's a filter for me. What is in the best interest of kids? You run all of your thoughts through that filter before you make a decision. And we're going through some things right now where we've had our enrollment has declined about 400 students over the last 14 years since 2011, 2012. So we've had to make some adjustments with our structure. And I know that anytime you make changes, if you combine schools or repurpose a school, people are entrenched in that emotionally. I want people to know that we don't just make those decisions solely from a business mindset. We try to think about how that impacts our students first, how that impacts staff and the larger community. So I would hope people would give me that benefit of the doubt, knowing that we run things through that type of filter.
You have communication is something that clearly is important to you. I know that you are readily accessible for media outlets and to talk about the great things that are happening at Greenfield and sometimes other things that are going on in the state. Your high school runs a podcast that you do a regular update on, and that's not only auditory but also visual. There's they record that as well. Why is that important for you to utilize those mediums to get that information out?
I think we need to share the good work that is happening in our schools. That podcast allows us to do that. We're pretty fortunate to have a TV and radio station in our high school and have had for 20 plus years. But you and I have joked about it in the past when you were the superintendent at Wayne Township. It seemed like the news station seemed to call us more than anybody else. And I'm sure they call other people, but I think we were just ready to give it a response to that. We want people to know kind of what we're doing on those things. So it's important as a leader, I think, to be accessible.
Ironically, you mentioned both of us obviously being available, and I often would tell my communication person, well, if we don't get right back to him, maybe Harold will do the interview first, and they won't come back calling again.
Well, I think you certainly were very visible there as a superintendent, willing to share that as well, so thank you.
Harold, you know, you've been in this a long time, and you figured out how to manage just the day-to-day stresses and decisions and all of the things that come with that, but what are some strategies that you might share with others that are listening to this on how you manage that emotionally and that you manage that physically and that you're able to really put things into the right perspectives and places as you lead with excellence?
You know, I think as a superintendent, you feel like you're on the clock 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It is hard to get away, but I think it is important to find some work-life balance. Mm-hmm. There need to be times when you set the phone aside. And clearly, if there is an emergency, people know they may need to reach my wife. If I don't respond to something, they would send it to my wife's text or something like that. But I think it is important to have that balance. I do take my job seriously. I feel like I am the ambassador for Greenfield Central Schools. I need to be accessible. But you got to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. For me, that's a convertible drive in the evening on a night like last night. Spending time with my wife. Of course, my children are grown now, 22, 27, and 29. But spending time with family, friends, and doing some things that I enjoy, whether that's watching a baseball game late at night or playing a little golf.
When you're not in Hancock County, is there some place that you and your wife like to go just to get away?
Absolutely. And I think it's an area you know pretty closely. We spend a lot of time in Fort Myers. We're fortunate to have a family place down there through my wife's side of the family. So every seasonal break, we spend a week down there. It is a place that is a home away from home.
It's beautiful.
Well, the temperature's great. Nice to have water around. And there's something nice about somebody not, nobody knows me when I go down there for a week.
You can go to a restaurant, you can do all the things and not have somebody interrupt your meal and and want to talk business as you're trying to enjoy some time with your wife.
Absolutely.
We talked in a group last night with the Epic group, and I know that you've been actively involved with your own professional development and your own growth as you have worked to become the best leader that you possibly can. One of the things we talked about was all the demands on your time, especially being one of the largest employers and having a significant economic impact in your community. How do you determine what groups are important for you to be involved with? We talked about the foundation already. Groups like Chamber of Commerce, other service organizations, churches, and other entities that exist in Greenfield. How do you make those determinations where to best spend your time?
You do get asked by a lot of people to be on boards and just trying to prioritize where that greatest impact for my time is going to be. I was a 9-year member of the Community Foundation board, which is the longest you can do that. I was on our chamber board for 10 years. I currently sit on the Hancock Economic Development Council executive team. And I feel like those are places where I'm plugged in with some other community leaders where we can make a difference beyond the things that we do as a school, things that make our community a better place. But I mean, I've certainly been with Kiwanis for a few years or Rotary for 5 years. I was an elder at our church for 3 or 4 years. I mean, there are other places where I want to have impact. It's a place for me to be visible. Hearing from other people in terms of the things that are important to them about our community, not just the schools.
Yeah. When you think about the future of Greenfield and the future of Greenfield Central students, what do you get excited about?
Our kids are just amazing in terms of the way that they conduct themselves. The number of kids that are going on to college and having success. One of the things we do with our school foundation is we celebrate alumni who have gone on to do some pretty amazing things. And I am amazed by the things that they go on to do. And that's not just the elite students. We have some students with a lot of different skill sets that have gone on to be very successful. But I think with the 4,200 kids that are walking through our hallways, grades kindergarten through 12, the excitement that our kids have about being in school, the respect that they have for themselves and others, the commitment to learning, I think those are things that show up not just in test scores, but in things that are going to be skills that will serve them well for their entire life. So it's just a great American community. I say that not only as a kid who grew up in that area, but I see that in our current students and in the alumni.
Yeah. We know that we serve our communities. We have the title of superintendent, but it's really important that we engage our stakeholders, whether it be the student voice when we're talking about elimination of cell phones in the classrooms or things that impact them personally, our parents personally, like a referendum. Mm-hmm. How do you engage your stakeholders? What have you found to be most successful for you in helping you to keep a pulse on what's happening inside your classrooms, what's happening across your community?
Well, certainly, we'll start with our students, where you started with. I mean, it's important for me, members of my cabinet, to be visible, whether that's attending events, performing arts, athletics, awards programming, where parents and students are there. I think that's where that starts. There have to be opportunities for forums as well. I mean, I address some of the difficult work we're doing on some restructuring and having some community forums for that to take place. Clearly, talking about that information in board meetings where, we began to publicize our board meetings well before it was law, once we had the ability to do that. So it's not necessarily a lot of people that will show up to a board meeting, but it's always available to them to stream it live and to look at the archives there. It's being available when people are calling my office or want to meet with me. I think as leaders, we need to do this. We do have a pulse. In addition to continuing to work with, we had a group of ambassadors we started this year. We took some applications from people in the community who wanted to be GC ambassadors so that we're giving them information, but more importantly, it's an opportunity to listen to them. What are the things that are important to them? What do they have questions about? What are the things they may be reading online that are confusing to them that they can help us with? It's targeting people like that can have more impact than even I can have.
Yeah. As we get ready to wrap up this podcast, which is entitled Leading with Excellence, Harold, when you think about leading with excellence, especially in the context of public education, What does that mean to you?
I think first and foremost, it's having goals, sharing those goals with a team. Mm-hmm. You know, I've taken many things in terms of knowing my personality and leadership style. I'm sure you have as mm-hmm. well. And I think about the one that I've done most recently was the Strengths Finder and how important it is to me, a relator, and how much harmony is important to me. The relator piece is making sure that I'm surrounding myself with qualified people. Mm-hmm. We have a goal and we're working toward achieving that. That's so important when you're leading with excellence, that you have qualified people around you, that you're working with them toward those common goals. Now, of all the five traits that I mentioned the harmony piece, and I don't think that means that you're afraid of conflict. It just means that you're more willing to work with people to find a solution that works for everybody. And I think that's an area where I've certainly grown quite a bit, trying to be a better leader. It's not avoiding conflict. It's sharing what those expectations are, but working with others to get toward that mm-hmm. goal where they can be a participant in that rather yeah. than making things happen to them. So I think that's an important part of leading with excellence. It's learning to work with others. It's not just about your sole goal mm-hmm. and your vision, although that's important as a leader to have a vision. Get good people around you yeah. that can help work toward that goal.
There's a lot of ways to get to the solution, isn't yeah. there? I think you learn that with maturity and experience.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Harold, thanks for being my guest.
Thanks for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been the superintendent of Greenfield Central School Corporation, Dr. Harold Olin. Harold's story reinforces that excellence is a journey, not a title. We hope today's conversation helped you to see the heart behind the role of the superintendent. Today's conversation reminds us that leadership is not only about decisions, it's about people, passion, and purpose. This has been another episode of the Leading with Excellence podcast from the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents.